From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to this remarkable program we call Coast to Coast AM. First off, happy birthday, Eric, the Big 40, from the one who loves you the most, Liz. She's been emailing me all week to get this done, Eric, so there you go. Later tonight, mediums and consciousness, here's what's happening. John Coleman, who co-founded the Weather Channel, has shocked academics by insisting the theory of man-made climate change was no longer scientifically credible. Instead, what little evidence there is for rising global temperatures points, he says, to a natural phenomenon within a developing ecosystem. In an open letter attacking the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, he said, "The ocean is not rising significantly. The polar ice is increasing, not melting away, and heat waves have actually diminished, not increased." Tense moments in Canada. The attack on Parliament Hill Center block in the National War Memorial has left one Canadian soldier dead and one male suspect dead. During an address to the nation, Prime Minister Stephen Harper said that the incident in Ottawa was indeed a terrorist act. Initially, it remains unclear whether the man shot dead acted alone. They're now beginning to think he did act alone. The Prime Minister concluded by stating that there will be no safe haven for terrorists and expressed confidence that Canadians will pull together in the wake of this week's events. Now, the federal sources have identified the suspected shooter as Michael Zahaf Bibeau, a man in his early 30s who was known to Canadian authorities. As a matter of fact, he wanted to go to fight in the Middle East. He had his passport revoked, and he has just converted to Islam before all this happened. Zahaf Bibeau has a record in Quebec in the early 2000s, petty crimes such as possession of drugs and credit card forgery and robbery. He was also charged with robbery in 2011 in Vancouver. Guns. John Lott, of course, president of the newly formed Crime Prevention Research Center. John, so terrorism and crime like this goes to Canada. I never thought I'd see that day.
Well, it's surely a sad day. I'm sure a lot of people are quite shaken up there, but you've had two types of terrorist attacks in as many days in Canada. And, you know, both of them have extremely similar characteristics to individuals who had just very recently converted to Islam. Both of them had had their passports recently confiscated. You know, it seems like a real pattern's going on there. But one of the things that's clear is how difficult it is to stop people who want to do these types of crimes. I mean, here you have the person who attacked Parliament had had multiple criminal offenses. He had been in prison on at least a couple of occasions.
Yeah. And they knew. And they knew he was a problem.
Right, exactly. But they still weren't able to stop him, even though it was illegal for him to obtain a weapon. It still wasn't possible for them to stop him from doing that. When you have people who are willing to plan these types of attacks long in advance, it's very difficult to stop him. And they pulled him in for questioning before, but since he hadn't at that time actually broken the law and they couldn't credibly show that he was a danger to others, they had to let him go.
Are these people truly terrorists, John, or are they just nuts, insane?
Well, I don't know how one draws the line sometimes. I mean, I can think that some of the things that they believe are pretty nutty, but they're doing it because they think they're fighting a battle. The reason why I think they've gone after soldiers in the two attacks in Canada is because they view them as enemy combatants.
Canada allows its residents to buy guns, but the rules and the laws there are a little more stricter than even in the United States, aren't they?
That's right. But, I mean, with regard to long guns, which apparently is what was used here, they have to pass a criminal background check. They've had registration up until very recently there in Canada, but they couldn't show that that had stopped any criminals from getting guns or had solved any crime. So they eventually got rid of it. It had been an expensive waste of money. But handguns have been licensed and registered since the 1930s. And, you know, despite those laws that they have there, they apparently weren't able to stop this person with this long criminal history from obtaining a weapon. Somehow, through some black market, some way he obtained it.
Sure did. John, thank you so much. John Lott, you can check out his blog by going to our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. Well, it happened again. A man jumped over the White House fence Wednesday night, but this time the man barely made it onto the lawn before being taken down by a canine dog and quickly detained by Secret Service agents. It was the first fence jumper since Omar Gonzalez, who made it into the White House through an open door before being detained there. They're going to have to do something about that, either electrify the fence or something, because this is happening way too often. U.S. health officials imposing fresh constraints on people entering the country from three countries at the center of West Africa's Ebola epidemic, mandating that they report their temperature daily and stay in touch with health authorities. That's what they want to do. And the World Health Organization's Emergency Committee is holding talks to discuss the Ebola epidemic. The meeting in Geneva is examining screening measures at borders and considering whether stricter travel regulations should be put in place. They should be. The known death toll is now 4,877, a rise of 322 since the WHO's last report just 5 days ago. And a cruise ship carrying a Dallas hospital worker who may have handled fluids from an Ebola victim docked in Texas early Sunday, and the passenger at the center of a scare headed home. The Carnival Magic returned to a port in Galveston a day after a helicopter landed on the cruise ship to pick up a blood sample from the passenger. The blood sample did test negative for Ebola. But what about cruise liners and the possibility of bringing disease into countries? Let's check in with none other than Captain Kelly Sweeney on this one. Kelly, what do you think about all this?
Ahoy, George. Well, they think that there are 65,000 cargo ships, and that doesn't include passenger ships. There's many more of those that come into the United States every year from other places. But there are no regular screenings for infectious diseases of passengers or crews on board any of those ships. Now, there used to be regular sanitary inspections of ships coming in to our country up until the 1980s, but they were eliminated to budget cuts, even though merchant ships brought the bubonic plague epidemic that we had in the United States in the 1900s. So in my opinion, it is time for us to go back to regular health inspections of all ships coming into our ports from foreign countries without exception.
Well, I agree with that. And Kelly, what's new with you these days? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Well, George, I've been busy on a personal level lately, and professionally I'm working on my next book, which hopefully will be coming out next year, and just keeping up on my professional stuff and listening to Coast to Coast when I can, of course.
Well, the book comes out. You know where to go for your interview.
Sounds good, my friend.
All right, Captain Kelly Sweeney. The U.S. car safety regulators have expanded a recall of vehicles with potentially dangerous Takata airbags to 7.8 million. These airbags were made in Japan. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is warning that the owners should take immediate action. This one's serious. If deployed with force, the airbags have the potential to eject deadly shrapnel at you, the driver. The NHTSA has identified 10 manufacturers who have used Takata as a supplier, including General Motors, Honda, and Toyota. This is what I want you to do. I'm going to give you a website. Just remember it. Write it down. When you have time, you get your car's VIN number. You put it in the section that it's required, and it'll tell you if your car is being recalled. This recall is a dangerous one. Here's the website, www.safercar.gov. Okay? Safer, S-A-F-E-R-C-A-R, safercar.gov. Get your VIN number from your car. Now, some of you may say, what's that? If you have an insurance card, your VIN number should be on that. All right? And the wrecks of a German U-boat merchant vessel sank after the Battle of Atlantic has been found 30 miles off of North Carolina. We always knew and heard stories from Douglas Dietrich that the Germans were off the shores of the United States during World War II. But come on, 30 miles? That's what they found. Up next, you've asked for him, and we got him, the Bulldog, 2 hours with the father of alternative media, Alex Jones, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. I was having dinner in Los Angeles last week, and I was sitting there at the bar section in my favorite little corner, and there was a couple there from Texas, Austin, Texas, and they looked at me and said, "Oh, you do that radio show, don't you?" And I went, "Yeah, that radio show, Coast to Coast." And I said, "Okay, where are you from?" They said, "Austin, Texas." And I gave him the quiz. I said, "All right, what's the biggest thing to come out of Austin, Texas?" And I'm thinking, of course, my guest I'm about ready to introduce to you. And they said, "Bats." There are millions of bats in Austin, Texas, and they hide under a bridge. And I said, "Well, after that," they said, "Alex Jones." And so here he is, Alex, back on Coast to Coast. Alex, welcome.
George, it's such an honor to be here with you. Thanks for having me on.
So these things that are happening all around us right now, and we're going to go through a whole litany of them, Alex, they've got to be driving you crazy. I mean, they just don't seem to stop, do they?
Well, I mean, I listen to your show routinely, and I understand that, you know, you and your guest have your finger on the pulse, and what emerges is an image of a world in crisis, and the Pentagon's been saying that. The British Ministry of Defense has been saying that. Most of the big think tanks are saying that. It's not just that there's more media today. There really are more things happening, good things, bad things. Some things are neutral. Some are really positive. Some are negative. But undoubtedly, there's more insanity, more instability going on out there in financial markets, with individual people, with mentally ill people, with criminals who basically don't have any culture, don't have any mooring, don't have any rudder. And so they are just basically out there doing crazy things. And we see all these unstable people climbing the fence at the White House for the first time ever. And as that gets more attention, more people will see that and will do it. And we see more people trying to join ISIS or IS or Al-Qaeda, who just seem completely empty. And just like Professor Lott said earlier, no amount of security will ever protect us from mentally ill people and from criminals and from evil people. And it was someone with a gun, the sergeant at arms, there at the Canadian Parliament in Ottawa, that was able to stop this guy. It was not, you know, all of the giant police state that was in place or the lockdown across the city, where for 8 hours or so, that whole city, I've been there multiple times, very beautiful place, was on lockdown, and they were pointing guns at journalists and running checkpoints on highways, when now they're saying it was just one person that supposedly did it. So it shows this spirit of fear that grips establishment governments all across the world, but still doesn't even protect them from the specter of a crazy person.
That's right. And it shows you, Alex, how just one person, one crazy person, can disrupt an entire nation.
Exactly. I mean, can you imagine being the people of Syria, who for 4 years have had NATO and Turkey and Saudi Arabia and others publicly funding Al-Qaeda and other radical groups that call themselves ISIS or IS or ISIL
or whatever they are,
or whatever the name is this week. Can you imagine being in that country and having hundreds of thousands of foreign fighters pouring into your nation, blowing up shopping centers and attacking markets and blowing up churches and mosques, and the West calls them freedom fighters? Well, then those freedom fighters turn against the West and start attacking Iraq, so they're called terrorists. So just imagine if the type of things the West has done to destabilize the planet for the globalist was ever done to us. Imagine what we would do if one supposed Boston bomber on the run caused the lockdown for a day of half the city and door-to-door searches and still didn't catch him. Imagine if we had that type of thing a thousandfold here, what would happen to civilization? But much bigger than a supposed terrorist attack, imagine an economic collapse. anywhere in the world or worldwide or even a partial slowdown, if we had millions of people homeless, millions of people that ended up starving, it's estimated by major universities during the Great Depression over a decade, when most of the country was self-sufficient and knew how to grow a garden or had neighbors that did, can you imagine what it would look like here today? And now there's a new government report out we can talk about later, predicting total collapse of America by 2025. Well, once you realize that large financial interests that you talk about so often with your expert guests, who aren't free market but who are basically vulture capitalists, they want a worldwide collapse because they control the government responses to those crises and will use those crises to finally bring in this authoritarian world government. But if we're aware of this plan and admit it's happening, they won't be able to carry this out. That's why it's so important, in my view, to be informed. People say, oh, don't be so negative, just be positive. Well, I am positive, but I don't walk around in a field in the middle of the night that has big holes in it because I might break my ankle. I'm not being negative to want to have a spotlight or a flashlight while I'm out there. And that's what your show and other broadcasters, when you say, you know, Alex Jones is one of the fathers of alternative media, I've got to differ with that a little bit because Coast to Coast AM, George, and what you've been doing, you know, winning all of your Emmys for news, you know, decades ago and doing what you've done on talk radio, I really think talk radio, because we've had such centralization of print media and broadcast TV for so long, I think it's been talk radio itself that was the trailblazer of the new media. But thank you for the compliment.
What's new? What's the hot button on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, Alex?
I think really the hot button overall is there is a total loss of trust, and the polls show this in establishment media, in government, both political parties, but not just here, but in Europe, you name it, the entire political system has lost credibility, and no amount of armored vehicles, no amount of surveillance, no amount of warrantless wiretapping and NSA Big Brother activity will ever continue this system. And so I think we're really at a loggerhead point or a major crossroads where we're going to see more happen in the next few years politically than has happened in the last 100. And it's not just politically. There's a singularity we're approaching in economics, in science, in technology, just across the board. So it's the old Chinese proverb, may you live in interesting times. That's a positive and a negative. And it's just an epic time to be alive. For anybody out there that says, oh, life is boring, or oh, nothing's going to change, oh no, my friends, we've seen stagnation for a long time. Now you're going to see real explosive change. That's why the political establishment has tried to sell all these different political leaders as hope and change as a counterfeit to what they knew was really coming. So it is a epic, epic, epic time to be alive. So strap yourselves in, folks, and I hope that you're not just spectators, and I know the listeners of Coast to Coast AM aren't, because this is a participating sport here. This is the real deal.
It sure is, Alex. And I had Major Ed Dames on last night, the remote viewer, and I've heard now from two different sources, and his prediction is, and it's as far-fetched and strange as it seems, that there will be no presidential election in 2016. What do you think of that?
You know, I've been hearing that for a few years just across the board, that there's going to be an economic collapse or a war with Russia or ISIS will attack en masse. And I would always say to people, come on, the political system wants puppets, front men, pitch men, and women who they can build up as a messiah, then when they don't deliver heaven on earth or a utopia, then they allow that puppet to take the blame for all the problems and replace that puppet with a new, more shiny toy who can distract people for a while and become a diversion from the real power behind the throne. But I got to tell you, I don't imagine that the system would want to do that because they could just put a new puppet in. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, who would have ever thought we'd see national health care with death panels that doubles the prices of your health care? Who would have ever thought we'd see flu inoculations across the country now happening without parental consent? Who would have ever thought that we would see just some of the crazy things that we now see unfolding. So who knows? I mean, as crazy as this world's getting, I don't think you can count anything out.
We're going to talk more with Alex Jones when we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And again, his websites are linked up at Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. 2 hours with Alex Jones. We'll take phone calls with Alex next hour. Alex, a Liberian newspaper says that Big Pharma and the United States planted Ebola and we're the cause. Thoughts?
Well, I think it's too simple to say the U.S., but so often people can say, oh, the U.S. put Saddam Hussein in power, or the U.S. injected black people in Alabama or Guatemalans in Guatemala with syphilis, or the U.S. funded Pol Pot. The truth is criminal elements, openly globalists that are promoting world government, that manipulate our government and other major governments, are on record. And people can look this up. It's even been in the BBC television pieces. I played a clip earlier this week of it. It's posted on Infowars.com, admitting that back in the mid-1990s, South Africa declassified that they worked with the U.S. and other European governments developing airborne weaponized Ebola and developing pathogens that can be added to vaccines to basically create antibodies to sperm, so that women would become allergic to sperm and reject them, and hence become sterilized, basically. So Africans know all of this because this is big in their newspapers. In the U.S., everybody's heard about secret medical testing, but it's sure. Kind of back of your mind. I mean, I myself, when these claims came out in the last few weeks in big newspapers in Africa, and mainline virologists, not just African, but European virologists, went public saying, indeed, they believe this is happening. I had to go back and re-research it and was just blown away by how real this history is. So I don't think you can, or I can poo-poo what these people are saying because there's such a history. But at the same time, when they say the U.S. is behind it, that's kind of a simple boogeyman. What there are eugenicists who believe the world's overpopulated and who believe diseases should be allowed to run rampant, or race-specific diseases should be released to cull Africa, Asia, Latin America, and other areas. Because, you know, Hitler didn't invent eugenics. It was started in England and the United States. He just, in the establishment's own words, took it too far. But this is right at the heart, obviously, of what I cover and what I document. It's free online. People can just search the term end game, like the end of a chess game, end game blueprint for global enslavement, and they can watch that film for free on YouTube. It's over 2 hours long, and it shows all the quotes, all the video clips, all the admissions. And so, you know, that's why I know the science of vaccination is real. It's 500 years old. It was first developed in Europe for smallpox, where they would take some of the basically pustules that someone who'd survived smallpox had, take those antibodies and with a needle or a stick, scratch someone's skin with it, and then you wouldn't come down with it and get as sick. You would just get an immunity, but sometimes it would kill you. Well, it isn't that I don't believe in the science of immunization. It's that I don't trust an establishment and a globalist medical community that has been caught using vaccines as a covert form of experimentation and sterilization. In fact, it was in the news in the mid-90s, mainstream news, that they caught the UN in six different African countries adding a hormone to the tetanus shot to, again, create autoimmune response in women during pregnancy to the pregnancy itself, so making women allergic to their own baby by the second trimester, so they would have a forced abortion, basically. That's real. And so when we talk about it, I mean, no exaggeration, there were more than 20 publications in the last 2 weeks whenever we pointed this out about Ebola and simply republished with links to the African scientists and others. There were CBS News and International Business Times and so many other publications that do a lot of credible reporting from time to time, coming out and saying, how dare something as ridiculous. They even had the White House run Media Matters come out and say that, you know, I was deranged. Well, no, I'm not deranged. Everybody knows about the testing on troops of chemical weapons, biologicals and radiologicals. Everyone knows about testing radiation on foster kids. Pretty much everybody knows about the dangers of some of these vaccines, thanks to Coast to Coast AM and others. So that's what I was saying earlier, George. It's a crisis in confidence, and I want to get your take on this, if I can ask you. Where do you think it's going? Because stonewalling and calling us conspiracy theorists when we talk about real, credible, historical facts just isn't working anymore. But some of the dinosaur media, some of the state-run media, some of the affiliates of the establishment that are embedded in alternative media, you name it, it's not just, you know, older media that does this, just try to paint any questioning people as crazies, but it just doesn't work anymore. But they keep using that trick, even though it's not working. What do you see happening?
It doesn't. It's not working. And what's beginning to happen is, I think some mainstream media, they're beginning to realize, my God, these people, the Alex Joneses, they were right. People are really ticked off. They're starting to change a little bit. What I find fascinating about this Ebola situation is that the head of the CDC comes out and says, we should have a vaccine by January. This has been around for decades.
Yes.
Decades. And there was never a vaccine. Now, in just a matter of months, he can come out and honestly say, we should have it out by January, just a few months from now. How in the heck can they do this?
Well, exactly, George. You've hit the nail on the head right there. You don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to see Ebola around for 30-plus years, and then right as a mega pandemic begins that the UN says can infect 1.4 million people by January. Man, that's New York Times headline, folks. Right as this happens, vaccines, not one, not two, not three, but as many as 10 vaccines are set to roll out in December, January, February, right as this is set to peak in Africa. And Francis Boyle, who wrote the U.S. Biological Weapons Treaty that the U.N. adopted in the 1980s, and who's a top scientist, a doctor, lawyer, you name it, he is saying it has all the hallmarks of Western biological weapons souped up. I mean, we know that old Ebola lasted 3 days in the body, so you couldn't really spread it. Mm-hmm. Now it's 21, now 41, now 70 days in certain people. The 2,000-plus people have died of Ebola in all previous outbreaks in 35 years. This has already killed close to 5,000, tens of thousands infected. And they tell us nothing to worry about. It's not coming here. It's not going to spread. It's okay to bring Ebola patients into the U.S. when in Spain and other areas it's been Ebola patients that are spreading it. They say you have to be vomited on directly in an open wound to get it, and then meanwhile nurses with protective gear get it. Again, it everything the establishment says turns out to be a lie or turns out to be ineptitude. Well, whether it's lies or ineptitude, there's that crisis in confidence again. And look, my grandmother, who's 89, still sharp as a tack.
God love her.
She got polio 1 month after she got the vaccine, and some of her friends did. And then they admit that the Dr. Salk vaccine actually had cancer viruses, SV40, that they estimate infected over 100 million Americans and killed more than 10 million. Now, that's not me saying that. Anybody can go look up polio vaccine infected with SV40 cancer virus. And all over the world it did this. They estimate, get ready for this, that over 30 million Indians have ended up dying from the polio vaccine with SV40 alone in it. I mean, these numbers are staggering. So we see parliaments shut down and parts of D.C. shut down for fear of gunmen. They kill one or two people. It's still a tragedy if you're that Royal Mounted Police guy that got shot up there guarding the war memorial. Mm-hmm. But statistically, The real crisis is flesh-eating bacteria, MRSA. The real crisis is diabetes. Well, I mean, they're always saying find a cure for diabetes. Why is diabetes up over 1,000% in the West? Why is breast cancer up over 1,000%? Why is pediatric cancer up over 10,000% since the 1950s? I mean, I talked to medical doctor after medical doctor, George, as you do. In the 50s and 60s, people would fly on jet airplanes during their residency to become medical doctors to see a child with cancer. It was so rare that people would travel around the country, medical doctors and medical students, to see one and would do residencies in children's hospitals hoping to be able to see one of these cases, not because they wanted kids to die, but because they wanted to learn how to treat something rare. Well, now pediatric cancer is just skyrocketing everywhere, but it's always find a cure. No, find out why it's exploding. And if there were 100 people getting shot a night in my town, I wouldn't want to find a cure for gunshot wounds. I'd want to find out who was shooting 100 people a night, George.
And take care of it and fix it and eradicate
exactly.
It. No question about that. The new czar for Ebola. Doesn't he want population control or something? I had heard something like that.
That's right. It was up 2 days ago on Infowars.com and PrisonPanda.com. Anybody can search it. Ebola czar, no pun intended, has no medical history, not even a nursing background. And the White House said, oh, he doesn't need that. Well, what he is a fix-it man, a spin job person. And he was on a television show a year ago and was asked, what's the number one threat facing the world? And he said, African overpopulation.
Oh, boy.
So we have a guy who says African overpopulation, who's an adherent of Al Gore and population reduction, and he's the guy overseeing it. And then he hasn't shown up, George, and I heard you talk about this a few nights ago. He hasn't shown up to any of the Ebola meetings, He has not shown up to any of the Ebola meetings, and the president hasn't shown up to hardly any of them either. So what is the Ebola czar doing, not showing up to the meetings and not having any medical background? So it's almost like they're flaunting it in our face. I mean, who could write that he doesn't show up to meetings, he has no medical background, and he thinks there's too many Africans?
Yeah, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. It makes no sense. Anything new on the 9/11 investigations?
Well, as you know, George, in your decade plus of hosting Coast in your previous broadcast, every time we would question the official story, the media would spin it saying, we didn't think it happened, or, we thought that George Bush had a plunger like Wile E. Coyote. In fact, Chris Matthews of Hardball actually said that, I believed Bush, this is a quote, had a plunger like Wile E. Coyote and was detonating the World Trade Centers. I never said that. I can speak for you because I've been on your show so many times and heard it thousands of times that you don't believe that. What we said was, and what's been proven correct now in triplicate, is that, again, criminal networks in intelligence agencies worldwide, headed up by Saudi Arabia quarterbacking the whole deal, did indeed launch the 9/11 attacks, and now the 28 pages that have been seen by Congressman Walter Jones, Ron Paul has also come out and spoken about this, talking to others that have seen it, and the 28 pages that they redacted, made secret, of the 9/11 report, with 6 of the 10 commissioners saying that the official 9/11 story is a lie and should be declassified. We now know from leakers, military brass, you name it, that it shows a stand down by our government because they, quote, didn't want to embarrass Saudi Arabia, and that Saudi Arabian government at the highest levels basically ran 9/11. So we're completely vindicated. There was a cover-up. It is confirmed. And then now look at how elements of our government and the French government and the Turkish government and the Saudi government and the Qatari government were literally funding al-Qaeda to attack Syria. It's the same story over and over again. And look, it's not that Russia was good in the 1980s. They were terrible. But you don't fund al-Qaeda to attack them and call them the Mujahideen. You don't fund, after you know they've attacked you on 9/11, You could argue Reagan didn't know, or Jimmy Carter, who started it in 79, didn't know, but they certainly knew after 9/11, don't fund these groups, don't work with them. Well, that's exactly what started happening 4 years ago. They used them to overthrow Libya, which is now a failed state. They used them to try to overthrow our ally, Egypt, and almost successfully did it. They used them to attack Syria. They're using them to attack Iraq. And then they have to battle them later when it gets out of hand. It shows the Machiavellian manipulation going on, and it shows that we have special interest in control that don't care about anything, don't care about our security, because they don't just not care, George. If they allow these radical jihadis and their cohorts and their camp followers, like the nutball that got caught on video attacking the Canadian Parliament today, they get to take our freedoms, and they get to militarize the police, and that's why they're allowing it to happen, which is the same thing as doing it. Because if you aid and abet something, if you open the door, if you dump the black widows in somebody's bed or put rattlesnakes in their bed, you're just as guilty as the rattlesnake or the spider. And so that's what's happening, and we've been vindicated. I'm not tooting our horn. I put up with a lot of heat. You put up with a lot of heat for just entertaining guests, showing both sides of it, because there was evidence there. So, George, I salute you for what you've done. Look, it's just like this new movie, Kill the Messenger. I knew Gary Webb, the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who exposed CIA drug trafficking, before he was killed, shot twice in the head in 2004. It had been declassified in Congress that the CIA was bringing in massive amounts of cocaine to fund covert operations. But they still used mainstream media to destroy Gary Webb before they killed him, shot him twice in the head. I believe it was a murder. But the good news is that the CIA was forced to classify 1 month ago that indeed they targeted and politically destroyed Gary Webb. So that's why I'm saying great job to George and your other host and guest, is because all of us telling the truth, because it's what burns in our heart, are in danger. But the more of us tell the truth, the safer it is to tell the truth. And that's why people need to realize the danger trailblazers are in, like you were back in 2003, first having me on Coast to Coast AM, when it became a national news story the next day in multiple newspapers, and Brian Lamb spent 2 hours on C-SPAN talking about you and all these other people. It was so revolutionary when you first had me on, and I know you got a lot of heat behind the scenes for it, but as Mark Twain said, George, in the beginning, a patriot is a scarce man, hated, feared, and scorned, but in time when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. So I literally salute you for your courage, and you have been vindicated yet again.
Well, and we're not going to stop. We've got a long way to go, Alex. You know that song from Twisted Sister, "We're Not Going to Take It"? I truly believe people in this country are at that point where they're fed up. They're not going to take it anymore. And, you know, we're the watchdogs. We're the ones that point this out. But I've got to tell you, your audience, my audience, must be the most intelligent audience in radio I have ever seen. I mean, they know everything.
I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. The more wisdom you get, the more you realize what you don't know. But we have open minds. We know that there's a criminal group worldwide working behind the scenes. It's called evil. And it works through every major group and every major institution. But there's also the good guys who work through every major group and institution. It comes down to a battle between good and evil. And our forefathers said, don't trust big government. Keep it on a short leash. George Washington said, fire is a dangerous servant, a fearful master. And we are simply getting back to common sense, and that's why it resonates. And absolutely, I want to point out your audience is just as important or more important as you and I or anybody else. We are all in this journey, this quest for truth together.
There's no doubt about that. Alex, I want you to hang with us. We're going to have a final hour of phone calls with you, with the man, Alex Jones. We're holding back nothing. So get ready to make the phone call. His websites, a couple of them, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and make sure you're a regular listener to his broadcasts as well, because they are truly cutting edge. Need to email me, George at CoastToCoastAM.com, and continue to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.